Let's turn together to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read our scripture again. Because we're looking at such small sections of scripture in Philippians, we're reading other texts to get a context and to help set the theme. So would you stand, please? We're going to read together from this very familiar passage in Matthew 6 from the Sermon on the Mount. Notice it's subtitled in this particular Bible from which this was taken, the New American Standard, The Cure for Anxiety. Our theme today is worry. And we all have a choice to make. Worry or worship. Worry or prayer. Let's read together as Jesus taught these words in the Sermon on the Mount. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek for all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Father, in this area, Lord, that we are all so prone to, of anxiety and worry. We're all guilty, Father, of sinning in this way. So, Father, now as we come to the Word, might you, by the Holy Spirit, reveal, Father, our needs, convict us, Father, of disobedience, and then, Father, encourage our hearts with the antidote to all of this anxiety. And Father, we will praise you because you are the God of all grace, the God of all might and resources and power. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Someone has said that worry is the acceptable sin. Worry is the permissible sin. Well, of course, that's not true. But it's, I think, how we think. It's how we look at it. Someone recently, or I don't know how recent it was, but I saw this recently, and he was talking about, you know, the economy. Frankly, there's a lot to worry about if a person wanted to worry, right? The economic thing. Now, supposedly there's been a bailout, and who knows if it's going to work or where it's going to lead or how it's going to be paid for. There's a lot to worry about economically. This man said, everybody's worried about the economy this year. Hey, my hairline is in recession. My waistline is in inflation. And altogether, I'm in depression. So that's how he summed up the economic situation. But you know, worry... Young people worry about who they're going to marry, or are they going to marry, or is their face going to clear up, or, you know, whatever. There's all those worries. Middle-aged people worry about, am I going to have the nice house that I want? Am I going to have the late model car that I'd like? Older folks worry about Social Security and health care and who's going to care for me in my old age. All of this worry, all of this anxiety. And it's a well-documented fact, is it not, that worry and anxiety has negative consequences physically. I mean, it's well-documented what stress and worry and anxiety does to the heart, to the human body, to our digestive system and so on. Lowers our resistance, we're told, to disease. Less sleep and all that that brings. But you know what the most serious consequence of anxiety is? Worry and anxiety is an affront to an all-wise, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God and Heavenly Father. Here in these two verses is the answer to anxiety. It's the antidote, if you will, to anxiety, to worry, and how relevant it is. Have you been challenged by these verses in Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit, your gentle spirit, be known to all men in every situation. And now we come to this one. Don't worry about anything. I'm telling you, this is convicting. This is challenging. But we need this. We need this in 2008. Because the world, frankly, is a mess. And there's a lot we could worry about. Notice, first of all, the prohibition we must obey. There's a prohibition here. There's something we're told not to do, and it's a matter of obedience. Just like rejoicing is a matter of obedience, that choice to rejoice, and just like letting a forbearing spirit be observed by all and characterizing us in all of our dealings with people and situations, those are commands. And here's the third command now. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Now, folks, this is impossible. Is it not? I mean, again, is God just kind of trying to mock us? Don't worry about anything. That's unreasonable, Lord. I mean, I can't function without worry. Right? Worry is my security blanket, right? I remember the Peanuts cartoon. And two of the little kids in Peanuts are talking to each other. And one says, my mom is kind of a worrier. Really? What does she worry about? Well, the other day she said, what if we're going down the highway at 60 miles an hour and the glove box comes open? You didn't think that was funny, did you? It kind of illustrates the stuff that just, you know, so? And, you know, really, if you take the little stuff and the big stuff, it's kind of in the same category. Really, in the scheme of God's power and eternity, as what if the glove box comes open? But worry is our default position. We continually just resort to that by default. Fred Smith said, trying to break away from my worries was like wrestling an octopus. That's pretty vivid. But notice, first of all, it's a command. Be anxious for nothing. Paraphrase, don't worry about anything. It's a command. It's a command here. And it's in the present tense, stop worrying. Apparently, they were worrying. They had a lot to worry about there in Philippi. There were persecutors. It wasn't easy to be a Christian in first century Rome, the Roman Empire. They had a lot of reasons to worry. Paul had a lot he could have worried about. Not much looked good, humanly speaking. The Greek word here, be anxious for nothing, the word anxious means to pull in different directions, to be distracted because you're being drawn in different ways. I looked up the word worry in an old English dictionary online and found that the word, our word worry originally meant to strangle, to strangle something. Isn't that interesting? Worry chokes the life and the vitality out of us. It incapacitates us. It really does. Anxieties and worries. It's like in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus gives the parable of the sower, and he says, a sower went out to sow seed, and some fell among the thorns. And he said, that's like the person who is choked with the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life. Someone said, worry is an unreasonable anxiety, especially about things over which one has no control. Now, remember, this word anxiety is also used in the Bible of good concern. It's used of concern, healthy, spiritual, righteous concern for others. We're talking about an anxiety that is because of lack of trust in God and because we're taking all of this responsibility on ourselves instead of rolling it on to the Lord, casting all our care on Him. Well, since worry is so pervasive, how can Paul say this? Where he just begins, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. I mean, is that just kind of like, don't worry, be happy? Is that from Sesame Street? Or, you know, just kind of a mindless, feel-good self-talk. Don't worry, be happy. No. There's much more here. And the reason is, behind Paul's teaching are the words of Jesus that we read. It's not just don't worry, be happy, but it's don't be anxious for anything, because behind all of this is a loving Heavenly Father. Right? Do you still have your place marked maybe in Matthew 6? Just turn back there again. We read it here together. But Matthew 6, you see, behind Paul's words to not worry about anything are Jesus' words. Jesus, in Matthew 6, three times, Jesus says, don't worry or don't be anxious. Verse 25, I say to you, don't be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat and drink and what you shall put on. Why do you worry about what you're going to wear and if you're going to have enough to eat? Verse 31, don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat and so on. Verse 34, don't be anxious about tomorrow. So he says, don't worry. Jesus says, don't worry about your basic necessities. Your Father knows you need that. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's in control of the future. It really shouldn't concern us if there's enough Social Security or enough to retire on or our health. God knows. Someone said, worry is the attempt to carry the burden of the future myself. Corrie ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Now, these are convicting statements here in Matthew 6 about worry, are they not? I mean, look at verse 27. Which of you, by being anxious, by worrying, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? By worry, we won't add a single day or moment to our lifespan. We'll probably subtract from it, in fact, by worry and the stress that it brings. But notice also verse 32. Jesus implies that worry is associated with the pagans. Not the Christians. Worry is associated with the Gentiles. You see that? Verse 32. For all these things, the Gentiles, the pagans, seek food, clothing, and houses and automobiles. But your Heavenly Father knows you need this. He'll take care of you. God's in control. He feeds the birds. I like the little poem. It's the idea of two birds sitting up on a wire, and they're just watching the human condition, just watching humanity rushing here and there. And the little poem is, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me." Why do we worry? We forget. We get our eyes off the one who cares for his own, who loves, who's in control. The birds don't worry. He cares for them. The point of Matthew 6, I think, is that worry exposes our lack of trust. Worry exposes our shallow faith, our unbelief, and that is sin. Whatever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. We lose sight of that God is sovereign, that He's in control, that He's good. And we begin to think, God, I can't trust you for this. God, this is too big for you. Now, we don't say that. But we subconsciously slide into that. Don't worry about anything. And the Bible isn't minimizing trouble. It's just reminding us that God is greater. I love what Corrie Ten Boom says about this. She's with the Lord now. Corrie Ten Boom said, "Somebody once said to me, when I worry, when I'm anxious about something," Corrie said, "I go to the mirror and I say to myself in the mirror, this tremendous thing which is worrying me is beyond a solution. It is especially too hard for Jesus Christ to handle." She looks in the mirror and she says, "This thing that I'm facing, there is no solution and it is too big for Jesus to handle." And she said, "Then I begin to smile and realize what I've just said. And it helps me remember, wait a minute, God can handle this. God's in control. I belong to Him." The prohibition we must obey. Secondly, the practice we must follow. The practice we must follow. Pray about everything. There's the positive. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. In other words, talk to God in every situation. What is the antidote here for anxiety? It's this constant communication with God. It's talking to Him in every situation. Not just the big things. That's how we tend to pray. "Oh Lord, this is a big one. I need you." But see, this says, in everything by prayer. Do you want to begin to deal with the worry in your life and the anxiety? Begin talking to God about everything. Absolutely everything. You say, but man, shouldn't I just bring the big things? I mean, why should I trouble God with the little things? But you know what? Is anything really big to God? Is anything really big to God who is infinite? So bring Him everything. Even our biggies, you see, in terms of God's eternal might and power, the things that seem so impossible, are small in His sight. Bring Him everything. There's nothing too great for His power. There's nothing too small for His fatherly care. Just like a loving earthly parent is interested in all the little things their kids are involved in, or should be. I'm talking about a loving, godly, tuned-in parent. Obviously, we all stumble and fail in that. But the perfect parent, human parent, would be so interested in every little thing his children were doing and would want to hear about it and would want to be involved in it. So, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. 1 Thess 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And there's three terms here that speak of prayer. It's as if the Bible is saying, pray, pray, pray. It uses the word prayer and supplication and requests. Prayer refers to that it's an expression of worship. It's a general term meaning coming to God in worship, in everything by prayer. See, when we're anxious, we're turning inward. We're stewing inwardly. We're all wrapped up and we're admonished. No, come to God. Bring it to God. Lay it at His feet. Everything. Secondly, supplication. That's an expression of need. Refers to need. And then thirdly, our requests. Those are specific things that we're asking of God. But I want you to notice carefully. It says, present your requests with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you know what the cure for anxiety is, beloved? Don't miss it. It's to pray, but don't miss what it's attached to pray how? With thanksgiving. Absolutely essential to pray with thanksgiving. We are quick to ask, but slow to express gratitude. Remember the 10 lepers who came to Jesus? Luke chapter 17, verses 11 and following. Jesus healed. Lord, have mercy on us, they said. And Jesus sent them to the priest. And as they were going, they were healed. And only one turned back. And Jesus said, we're not 10 healed. And only one has returned to give thanks. The Bible tells us here, in everything we're to pray. This is the antidote for anxiety. And with thanksgiving, we are to bring our requests to God. For who He is. His power, His majesty, His wisdom, His kingdom, what He has done, His grace, His forgiveness. This week, on our Friday fellowship of prayer, as I was praying, I just began to thank God. And it was amazing how the burdens and the anxiety, just kind of feel it melting away like the frost when the sun comes up in the morning. Just begin to thank Him and praise Him. And that anxiety begins to lift. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you know what the Bible says is another characteristic of pagans? What another characteristic is of unbelievers? Ingratitude. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Even though they knew God or knew about God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, in the last days they will be characterized by ungrateful people. Our world is filled with people in knots with anxiety and troubles and concerns and no peace. Because people don't know Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. But we as His children, we're admonished to not worry, to look to Him, to pray. In every situation. Jill Briscoe says, we have a choice. We can worry or we can worship. That's good. We can worry or we can worship. And prayer is an expression of worship, first and foremost. We must choose to worship continually, giving thanks. By the way, did you notice, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't God know everything? Yes. But here it says, let your request be made known. But God knows. Why do we have to tell Him what He already knows? Well, let me suggest that prayer, first of all, is an expression of worship and relationship. It's we as children coming to our Heavenly Father and just pouring our hearts out. God knows what we need. But He wants our fellowship more than we want His. Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And prayer, secondly, is a reminder of our dependence. It's an expression of relationship, and it's an expression of dependence. Do you know why we become anxious? Do you know why we worry? It's because we have become self-reliant. Oh, what if I can't make this happen? What if my savings disappear? And it's all like it's on us. But when we make our request known to God, you see, it's like, God, I'm utterly dependent on You. Father, I need You. Lord, right now in this situation, I need wisdom. I need help. Lord, we need bread today. Or we need whatever. And You bring Your requests to Him. It's acknowledging our dependence. 1 Peter 5:7 says we cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. And that's bringing our requests. It's casting all of that care on Him. John Guest writes, when Scripture encourages us to pray without ceasing and to cast all of our care on Him, it is literally saying, redirect those restless, energetic minds into a stream of communication with God. Turn it all into prayer. He says, instead of nursing our wounds of self-pity, pray for the grace to forgive. Instead of worrying about those for whom we are responsible, ask God to intervene and lift the burden from our shoulders. Instead of thinking creatively about how to bring someone else down, pray creatively about how to build them up. Listen to this. He says, when I lived in England, my landlady had a little wall plaque that read, why pray when you can worry? Why pray when you can worry? He says, I always saw the humor of it, and the reverse psychology was good for me. It always drove me to really say, why worry when you can pray? Thirdly, the promise we will experience. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the promise? What is the promise that God has for us if we turn from worry, turn to prayer in everything with thanksgiving? What is the promise? It's peace. It's the peace of God. Notice very carefully again. It doesn't say, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving, and God will grant you your requests. Doesn't say that. It says, pray with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. The peace of God which passes understanding or comprehension. Whether He answers it or not. Is that not amazing? Turning from worry and self-reliance to God in prayer and peace, God says, will be the result. It's supernatural peace. It surpasses all comprehension. It's more wonderful than anyone can imagine. It's the very peace of Jesus Christ, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. God offers us this today, beloved. We have to choose worship over worry, prayer over anxiety, dependence on Him in everything over self-reliance. It's a growing thing. We grow in this. I don't think it happens overnight. We grow. Our faith is strengthened. Peace comes more and more as we're in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they who love Thy law. Isaiah 26:3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusts in Thee. That's where the peace is. And it says here, the peace of God, which is greater than we can even comprehend, which the world can't understand, it will guard our hearts and minds. It's a word that was used in a military setting of soldiers who guarded a city and protected it from attack. I like that. Because it says, this peace will guard your hearts and your minds. This peace will guard it from all of the discouragement and all of the doubts and all of the flaming missiles of the evil one. The peace of God will guard your emotions. It will guard your hearts. It will guard your mind. It will guard your thoughts. It will garrison you. Wow. This peace is like a sentry around your heart and around your mind. As we bring these things to God regularly, continually, constantly, and leave them there and pray. When the world is coming apart, when there's trouble everywhere, when your world is being rocked and fear comes in, God says, don't become anxious. Turn it to prayer and let the peace of God guard and surround your heart and mind. How does that happen? Because again, it's whether our requests are granted or not. Well, you see, it comes from like Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. It's when we come in prayer, it's making our request known. Father, this is what I need. This is what I would like to see happen. But Father, not my will, but thine. Jesus had a request of his Father. Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. The cross. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Takes great faith that God will supply as we come to Him in prayer. Knowing that He's good, He's in control, and everything He does is right and true and good in the lives of His children. For we know as His people that He causes all things to work together for good. See, and that's why we can pray, regardless of how the prayer is answered. The peace of God will flood your life. In your bulletin is an insert, and I encourage you to recommit again to the Friday Fellowship of Prayer, to sign that for that 15-minute increment on every Friday. Would you do that and turn that in? Now, all this is for believers, beloved, for those who know Christ. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice that? In Christ Jesus. It's for those who know the Lord. The Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. Isaiah 48:22. You know, beloved, our world is filled with those who are longing for peace, just sweet peace. And we have this wonderful, amazing peace available to us who are in Christ. That's what it says. In Christ Jesus. And the world is looking for reality. And we not only have the privilege of experiencing the peace of God, but of manifesting that through our testimony. The pagans are anxious and worried about many things. But Jesus says, my beloved, it ought not to be so with you. So, do you need to confess something to the Lord today? Do you need to confess your anxious spirit? Do you need to confess your anxiety, which has you in knots so many times when you're taking all of this on yourself? Great peace have they who love thy law. We need the peace of Jesus. He offers it.